This is an I Am Listening exclusive podcast.
I'm Noomi Gilder.
I'm Harriet Taylor.
And you're listening to Tech Girl Energy, the weekly debrief.
Our picks of this week's tech headlines.
And what we think of them.
We're aiming for 50% informative, 50% fun.
Let's dive in.
Welcome back to another week of Tech Girl Energy, the weekly debrief.
Hey.
Hello, hello.
How are you?
I am very good. Bit of a cold, but good.
Maybe it'll just make you sound extra husky.
A bit, yeah. We'll go to that. I was about to say a bit nasally, but husky sounds a bit more interesting. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. There's definitely stuff going around. There's been a lot of coughs in the office this week, so I'm kind of like just waiting for it to be my turn.
Stay away. I've been trying to avoid people like the plague, but I've still managed to catch something, I think.
So. I think it's the weather. Tis the season for cold, isn't it?
Tis the season. Oh, even those words are triggering me. There's Christmas stuff in the shop. Already, what's going on?
Well, October's begun. I'm getting excited for Halloween.
Oh yeah, true. There's lots of Halloween stuff. Lots of Halloween stuff. Maybe we should do a Halloween themed episode.
Oh yeah. Well, make a note of that for a couple of weeks' time. But let's get started into this week's tech news. Things that we found interesting. Got quite a range of like fields and topics today. I'm excited.
Yeah, there's a big selection of things, isn't there?
So let's start with the big picture.
With the big bang.
we're gonna talk about space for a bit. It's an exciting week for astronomers and astrologers alike, because we've got a new moon.
Just saying new moon made me think of Twilight.
I know. It's the season for Twilight as well. Yeah, so there's an asteroid known as the 2024 PT5 that has entered our orbit. It's going to orbit us until November, so it's only with us for a short time, but they're calling it a mini moon. So right now the Earth has two moons.
Yeah, apparently it's been chasing after us for a while as well. I've been playing hard to get.
But yeah, so I think, I mean, I personally have always loved any kind of science fiction where there's like multiple moons or, you know, another planet close by. That classic shot from Star Wars of Tatooine with the two moons. So I'm personally like loving the idea that we've got two moons at the moment.
How are you feeling about the potential of impending doom? with the asteroid drama.
What a sentence. Yes, it comes about, doesn't it, all the time. There'll be a news story where they'll be like, oh, there's an asteroid and it could be dangerous, and then you read the article and it's like, but it's not coming anywhere near us, so it's fine. Or like, but it won't reach us for 5 billion years. But it is obviously a concern for the planet. And there is a massive area of, you know, research, engineering, technology, all about planetary defense, which just sounds cool anyway to say.
Literally space wars, right? I mean, it's cool that we can even detect that it's, you know, orbiting us, let alone be able to defend against it. So tell me more about these defenses that we've got.
Yeah, so there's a new story this week that there's going to be two new forms of planetary defense that are going to be launching in the next couple of years. So the first is NASA's Near Earth Object Surveyor, or NEO Surveyor mission. And it's basically going to be in space. And as they've said, it's going to be a sniper that's going to be hidden in outer space that can detect asteroids.
And does this feel like something from like a PlayStation game?
Or Star Wars.
They've got all Star Wars. To be fair, like, it's all happening. It's all turning into real life.
It's the Death Star. But basically, a lot of the time, we will use light to detect asteroids. So look at reflected starlight. So is the asteroid reflecting light from the sun? And then they use imaging to be able to detect it. But this NEO survey is going to be different because it's going to use heat instead. Because apparently if you use light, you know, a small asteroid that's shiny will reflect more light or as much light as a bigger asteroid that has like a dull surface. So the idea is maybe you could get more accurate information if you use heat rather than light. And also if an asteroid's like in front of the sun, the sun is a huge light source, so they're harder to see. So heat could be better. The thing that I find really cool about this is it will sit in space far from Earth, and it will be covered in a sun shield, so it will be one of the coldest objects ever built. Like, that sentence sounds so metal.
I mean, it sounds crazy. That was something I was about to say, because you said that if it was going to be in front of the sun, you know, we'd have issue with light. I was about to say, if it's in front of the sun as well, surely it would have issues with heat, but
yeah, so,
it's got like a protective sort of layer around it.
Yes, so it's protected from heat, so that then it's able to use infrared to pick up heat sources, and it can be very sensitive. So it'll be even able to detect asteroids concealed by the sun's glare. It's going to launch sometime in the next 5 years, they say.
Wow, okay. So that's pretty soon.
And then they've also, it's like a superhero duo. You've got the NEO Surveyor in space, and they're also currently constructing the Vera C. Rubin Observatory in the mountains of Chile, which is going to be a ground-based partner. And that's going to do a lot of things. It's going to do a lot of imaging, but one of its jobs will be to detect asteroids, and it's basically going to be the most technologically advanced mechanical eye ever made. So it's going to have this colossal mirror and a 3,200 megapixel digital camera the size of a car.
This is crazy, right? I'm just sat here like, okay, wait, yeah, great. We're protected against asteroids now. But at the same time in my head, I'm like, A, why do they seem to think we're going to have an asteroid drama event? Asteroid drama event? I don't even know if I should be calling it that within the near future. And B, like, where's this come from? Like, I guess, obviously, we wouldn't be protecting ourselves against all of this. But it just makes me worry a bit. Like, are we going to start to see more asteroids coming towards us? And some
I don't know if it's because, like, I wouldn't necessarily think that it's, oh, they're doing this now because they think that there's an increase in threat. I think it's probably pushed by, they've got more, you know, the technology's gone better now to create these solutions. Because apparently the first asteroid was spotted in 1801, and then it's taken us two centuries to find a million more asteroids. Because not every asteroid has to be, you know, like a cataclysmic event. Some of them are, you know, like a meter wide little rock that burns up. But they're, you know, they're thinking that by the 2040s, they should have enough data so that they would be able to, you know, have that information.
Stop
if they're
extinct.
Well, yes, that would be the worst case.
I'm just thinking of the dinosaurs.
Take two.
Right? To be fair, if we can protect ourselves from that, I think we're in a pretty good position.
Yeah, exactly. And these are obviously, this is more like observation. There's then this whole other area of, like, once you've observed an asteroid, and if it's dangerous, do you like knock it out of the way? Do you blow it up in space? But that's a whole other research area.
Think of the aliens. We don't find them.
But can you just imagine if you know, we get to the point where people can just be like, yeah, I work in space defence. That's my job.
I swear I saw something a few years ago on Twitter. I don't know if it was when Elon Musk's sort of big announcements kept coming out about his company, but I swear there was something being spoken about, like a space defence league or whatever.
No, it was,
you know, outfits. Do you remember this?
It was Space Force, and it was Trump. It was a Trump initiative.
Oh my God, sorry for mentioning that. Okay, so that wasn't legit.
But I mean, he was the president, so it was legit. But but like, there was some critique around that particular initiative. But who knows about in the future? You know, at the moment we have a structure for space exploration and stuff like that. Could that change? I don't know. Could we have a space force? Maybe.
So, quick question for you.
Mm.
But left field, would you move to Mars? opportunity?
So, no.
Why?
Because I think in my lifetime, I think we will get to Mars, but I am really scared of space.
Okay.
Like, I love space. I think space is really cool, but I don't want to be in it. We were talking about this the other day when, you know, that guy, the billionaire, did a spacewalk recently.
Yeah.
And for me, it's the idea that if something goes wrong in space, like,
it goes very wrong.
Same thing as well, as I would never go in a submarine. If I'm on a boat or if I'm on land, and even, you know, up a mountain, and it may be, you know, crazy to think this, but in my head I feel like I've got a decent chance of survival, because I've got oxygen, and, you know, I could, people have survived those kind of scenarios before. Like, I just feel like your chance is better. But in a vacuum with no oxygen, floating in the abyss, no, not for me.
What about, we're being very dramatic.
What about you?
See, if you ask any of, like, sort of my friends up here, I've been going on about moving to Mars for years.
You're like, I'm ready to go. I got a bag packed.
I'm ready to go. Fire me up in a shuttle. Yeah, I'll move. Let's colonize it. No, but I think, like, the way what we've been doing to this planet, like, it might be time to just start over somewhere else. I think, like, it will probably happen in our lifetime, whether it will be successful or not. I don't know. Will it be by force? Because we've got a choice? I don't know, but I think at some point we will start seeing humans living on other planets, whether we like it or not. Dun, dun, dun.
Like, deep. But I do agree. Okay. We'll just have to wait and see.
One of the next stories we've got to speak about. So there's some new miniature scanners that could help revolutionise the diagnosis of conditions like diabetes, cancer and arthritis. So this has been a breakthrough that uses laser light rather than x-rays to see beneath our skin. And it's unprecedented, and the level of detail that you can get from this. And it's going to help revolutionise medical imaging, apparently.
Cool.
To some researchers in the UK. Yeah.
Amazing.
So it was developed in the University College London, and apparently it's quite effective at imaging blood vessels. And that's basically making it a fundamental new tool for diagnosing and managing diseases like arthritis, diabetes, and yes, some cancers. Looking into it a bit more, it's using photoacoustic tomography. I'm saying that right?
That sounds right.
So what that means, it uses laser light and ultrasound waves that are triggered in certain tissues, and it pieces together a 3D image of our biology in real time.
That's so cool.
Like spinning bodies. So you know, like when you go to a personal trainer and they tell you how much, like, muscle you've gained.
Or like what I'm picturing, because they're saying handheld and that it uses laser light, I'm imagining, you know, barcode scanners at supermarkets.
Oh, I have that in my head as well. Someone just scanning you with it. Yeah. Why have we explored the same thing in my head? There's no way it looks like that either. There's no way.
I don't know.
Beep.
Yeah, just beep, beep, beep. But I think this is really cool. Like, they're saying that they've reduced the times. So it's basically real-time imaging. You know, the benefit of this is that you're not having to use x-rays, which obviously can be harmful, and you're not having to use really expensive imaging tools like MRI. Like, if you can use a handheld scanner, then that's, you know. And we've talked about this before when talking about medical technology. There's so much room now for reducing time in care, which is so important. Like, if you've got this handheld scanner that can be used in a clinic or a GP surgery, you're not having to wait for an MRI referral or a CAT scan referral, then that's amazing.
Yeah, no, literally, like, a lot of the time with these types of illnesses as well, the sooner they're diagnosed, the sooner they can get treated,
yeah,
the better your outcome, right?
Yeah, because they're saying with they were saying with cancer, why it can be useful is that cancer tumors have a high density of blood vessels. So using this scanner, you can detect, you know, where the tumour is versus normal tissue. So this could be helpful in surgery when you're trying to remove a tumour, minimise the risk of recurrence to make sure you've got all of the cancerous cells. So that's amazing.
That's cool. So is this in a study then?
Saying they need more work with a larger group of patients to demonstrate the potential of the technology. So it is still very much in development, proof of concept.
Yeah. This is pretty cool.
I just think it would be fun, you know, to use.
Beep. Just imagine me and you in like little white, like, I don't know why I'm thinking hazmat suits. We don't need a hazmat suit. We just need like a little white overall and just like scanning things. Exactly. Like,
oh, look at my blood vessels in my hand. Lovely. Mm. Yeah, so that's really cool. I love stories like this where you just hear, you know, where it'll go.
Well, there's so many cool stories from a medical perspective. I think we've had quite a few on the show already recently. So just seeing the number of trials and like devices and stuff that are like, you know, being experimented with at the moment makes me think that at some point in the near future, we're going to start to see a lot of this stuff come to market if mm-hmm. it's successful.
Yeah, for sure.
Start, you know, actually helping and impacting our day-to-day lives.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Amazing. Final story of the week. Have you seen any of these around? Because there's been a few trials. It's really starting to pick up. Have you ever had anything delivered to you by a robot?
So I personally haven't. I've seen videos of it online. Some of them are very cute, very Wall-E.
Yeah.
Some of them are a bit scary.
Do you think so?
To be fair, I'm thinking of those Boston Dynamic dogs. Imagine listening to delivery from them.
If a Boston Dynamic dog delivered my Uber Eats, that would be hilarious.
I'd be like running out the back door. Like, damn, I didn't realise I was being spied on.
And it would follow you because it's very fast.
Yeah. Okay, and that's when you go to Mars, ASAP.
But there's been some cool stories this week about robots being used for deliveries. So in the US, Serve Robotics is already being applied in Los Angeles to deliver food for Uber Eats. They're sidewalk robots, so they're, you know, quite low to the ground. They're on wheels. They follow like the sidewalk, and then when it arrives at your house, you put a code in and you can get your food. But they're now going to do a trial in Dallas, Texas, working with Wing Aviation, which is owned by Alphabet, the group that owns Google, to use drones. And what I think is really cool about this is they want to try out drones because obviously that's going to increase the operational range. You don't have foot traffic with an aerial drone. But what I think is really cool about this trial is it's going to be the ground robots pick up food and then they transfer it to a drone to deliver it. Right. So it's robot to robot, which just feels like something out of a science fiction film.
It does, right. So I think this is really cool and that we're at this point, but I hate to, again, put a downer on this.
When Harriet's got a cold, she's so negative.
I am being sassy today. Right, I'm just thinking, in America, maybe American people are a lot more responsible than UK people, because I can imagine these coming to Manchester and they're not going to last a week. Like, we got those, they weren't Boris bikes up here, but when we originally got those rental bikes, I'm pretty sure half of them ended up in the river.
Oh.
The space room, and they had to take them away from us. So I think the aerial drones would be great for here. Would the sidewalk/pavement drones survive a month in Manchester? I'm not sure. I know what the kids are like here. Like, who knows where they could end up? But I think it's really good. I'd like to see how they're going to handle the safety of keeping them on the sidewalks. How are they going to stop people from stealing the food that's in them as well?
Yeah, yeah. So I think the idea is that you can't access it unless you have the code. They are actually being... We do have trials of these robot deliveries in the UK, but it's with DPD. Yeah. So DPD have been doing this since 2022. They've done it in Bristol and Milton Keynes, and they're going to launch... They've announced announced this week another trial in Lincoln.
Okay.
What I'm noticing...
Prime statistics of all these places.
Well, this is it. What I'm noticing is these are smaller cities.
Yeah.
Bristol, very known for being, you know, liberal, a great place to live. Lincoln, I've never heard a bad thing about Lincoln. I'm sure there was a lot of research in picking these groups, but they're on the pavement. You get a code, a one-time code to put in to access your parcel, and then the robot carries on, either does another delivery or returns to the depot. Apparently they're completing up to 30 deliveries a day.
Exciting.
Yeah, but I do think the major thing of this is like how are people
How are they staying on the route?
Are people going to steal these robots or like throw them in a river or...
Or just like give them a little kick and turn them on the side. Right, have you ever seen a cockroach? Where just, legs are just
the
like...
The wheels are just going. Right? Did you hear about the story?
Just pushes it over.
It was quite a while ago. I feel like a few years ago, this... I can't remember if it was a company or if it was a research group, but they had a hitchhiking robot. I think it was in the States, but the idea was that this robot would hitchhike, would people help it and like move it along, and like it ended up destroyed in a ditch, and it was so sad because these guys obviously had this really optimistic idea of how it would go, and the robot was in a ditch.
I bet it only like made it 5 meters
and someone kicked it over.
No, but given like choice, I think, I don't know, it's not super relevant to this, but it kind of is like to the story you just said. But I swear there was like an art exhibition once that a lady did.
Yes.
She just lay loads of things out on a table in front of her and just said to people, do whatever you want to me.
Yeah.
And to begin with, people were just doing like nice things to her. And by the end of it, someone was holding up a loaded gun to her head.
Like,
right, you give humans an inch, they'll take a mile. They killed that poor robot.
It's one of those things as well of like, one of the things that really interests me about technology and innovation is sometimes it's not just about have we created this new thing, is the technology possible. It has to play into adoption and human psychology and human behavior. And those...
We want it.
Yeah, those two have to work together for something to be successful. And I think sometimes people kind of forget about that because they just go like, oh, this is interesting. Oh, we can do this. Oh, this is possible. And then you end up with a robot in a ditch. So I am really interested in seeing how it works.
Yeah.
You know, historically, delivery companies in the UK, I'm not naming any names, but they do sometimes get a bad reputation.
Yeah.
So is automation the way forward, possibly? Also, if they could do pickups as well as deliveries, Vinted is gonna have a field day. Can you imagine, instead of having to find like an InPost locker that's free at like 3 PM, just a robot comes and picks it up for you?
So I think it's good, right? The only sort of issue I see is it can impact you sort of day to day because you just see robots out and about on the road and stuff like that. Does this mean like kids are going to like steal them or whatever we spoke about? But it is movement in the right direction. It makes me start to think, are we going to see like little robot sort of, you know how we've got bike lanes? We'll be able to, like robot lanes or something where the robots just go down and you know, just stop them. Because what if there's like a disabled person on a mobility scooter? Like how does the robot navigate around that? Like how are they going to navigate people in real life? How fast do they go? If they run out of battery, what happens to them? Like can they get back home? Do they send out a distress signal? Are they just stuck with all your parcels then? No, I'm just thinking of the logistics of this.
Yeah, for sure.
See it eventually is. I'd probably try and make it underground somehow.
Oh,
yes. That makes sense to me.
I like that. Yeah. And then they're not in the way. They're not going to be, you know, at risk out and about for someone to sabotage them. They're not, you know, there's no accessibility issues or obstructions. And then also like underground, what if you had charging points? You know, regularly, so they could charge. I think that would be really cool. Right, well, so let's draft an email to DPD see what they think.
Imagine if they had like little underground tunnels to every, like, even like Amazon lockers, for example.
Ooh, yeah.
And they could charge while they were going underneath on rails or something.
Oh my gosh.
In my head, this works.
Okay? Yeah.
And then eventually we'll get to the level where we can just teleport, like in Harry Potter, and we the robots. We don't know what energy source that looks from yet.
I would love to be able to teleport.
Imagine, just snap your fingers and that's it. You're in Bali.
Oh, yes.
The dream.
The dream.
Or you have a robot right in front of you with food.
Yeah, God, the future's a beautiful place.
And we'll also have space defence for you. Yeah.
And we'll be able to enjoy all these things because we've got space defence protecting us from the asteroids.
And as soon as we feel unwell, we just scan ourselves with a little beep. And we know what's wrong with us. We know our ailments.
Wow, I don't think we need to come back next week. I think we've solved everything.
This is how we live forever.
Well, thanks for joining us. This has been episode 5 of Tech Girl Energy, the weekly debrief. And we will see you next week, we promise.
We will. And don't forget to follow us on social media at Tech Girl Energy. That's on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube Shorts as well.
And also very excitingly this week, we have launched our sister podcast series, which is just called Tech Girl Energy. And that is all about pulling back the curtain on the exciting areas of engineering and technology that you can explore in a career in STEM. So if you're thinking about a career in STEM or you want to know what's available, we've got our introduction episode out now and we have our first guest joining us soon.
That's the main deal as well, this podcast. I think you're all going to enjoy it, love it. So yeah, make sure you like, subscribe, follow, share, repost, whatever you want to do.
And we'll see you next week.
Bye.
This has been an I Am Listening exclusive podcast. For more information, head over to our website, iam-listening.co.uk.